Genesis chapter 22. We're kind of back and forth, different services. There's no exact pattern to it. What services we do it? We're talking about trusting God, and we've done it on Thursdays and Sunday morning. I think we did it on, and I don't know if we've done it this Sunday night. And we're just kind of following the Lord's leadership, and talk about trusting God. Obedience when trust is hard is what we're talking about tonight. Obedience when trust is hard. Genesis 22 and verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here am I. The word tempt is not temptation like sin, but tempt is in test. That's what the word means. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood. He split the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went to the place of which God had told him. And on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto the young men, Abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife. And then both of them together, and Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold, a fire in the wood, but where is a lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And let's go ahead and pray. Father, I pray you'd help us to go through a hard story and understand the truths of it. And I pray tonight that we learn more faith, more trust. Trust is part of faith, Lord. It's one part of it, but really the bedrock of it. And I pray tonight we would get what we need. And I pray that your Spirit would give us wisdom and speak to us through the Word of God. And help us to see that we can trust you, even in hard things. And we ask for your wisdom. And we ask you would guide us in our minds to think right and to either get back to the point where we trust you or get to the point and that we would stay there, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a difficult story. I knew one lady, she had real issues with the story. So I don't like that story. I don't read that story in the Bible. So, well, your name's not in the plaque then. And she just did not like that story, and it's a tough story. Yeah, I think it gets tougher if you slow down a little bit and maybe imagine and look at the details. You've got to include some details there. God comes to Abraham and says, go take your son, your only son Isaac. Now, he had had Ishmael, but Ishmael wasn't with him anymore. Ishmael was, he didn't know where, off in the wilderness somewhere with his mom. And so he says, take your only son Isaac and offer him and slay him and offer him as a burnt offering to me. And I go to Mount Moriah and go do this. So off Abraham goes, and he did it. And he obeyed God and went there and took a couple servants, took his son, took the wood, split the wood, to grab the knife he needed to take it, and headed toward the mount. And he goes up to the mount. Puts the wood and binds his son up, puts the wood around him. And what you would do is you would kill a sacrifice, and then you'd light the fire and burn it up. And Abraham lifts up his knife, it said. The kid was bound, the wood was there, fire's ready to light. He lifts his knife up, and he's ready to slay his son. And God says, stop, don't do it. You prove to me you'll do that. And one of the mysteries of the Bible that is a little hard to understand is God knows, well, I guess whether he would or not, but he makes us go through the actions, and that's what God does. Whether it's because we would say when we got to heaven, oh, I would have done it, or whatever the thing is, for some reason, God does not say, well, the heart is there, so it's enough. That's what man says. Well, I didn't do it, but my heart was right. Faith without works is dead in the Bible. And God said, let's see, go through with it. But and so God did that with that. And he was going to do it. And God, a voice comes out of heaven and says, stop, don't do it. But Abraham went up there believing God, somehow trusting God enough. And by the way, Abraham's probably his son. We don't know his age here, but he was a child. He's probably 10, you know, just guessing by how things happen in Genesis here and where Ishmael was in his age and stuff. He's maybe 9, maybe 12, maybe 8. That's an obedient child. At some point, he'd look up and say, "Daddy, why exactly am I tied here on this wood and you're lifting a knife over me?" That's an obedient child, and he just went with his dad. And I think Abraham is probably 110 years old. Abraham was, you know, put about 100 in front of whatever the kid was. And just imagine trying to chase down your kid if he didn't want you to do that to him when you're 100 years old. And yet he was going through it the whole thing and ready to do it and obey God and sacrifice his son. And by the way, this wasn't the Duggars, where one might not be missed too much. This was his only son. He didn't even know where the other one went. And this was the other one wasn't even by Sarah. And this was a son of promise where God said, "You're going to have a multitude of children from this child." Don't get me wrong. I think you would notice even if you had 20 kids. You get the idea. This is the one kid. And he wanted to have, you know. And this is his dream come true. And he finally got this kid when you're 100. Then you got to go sacrifice him. And Abraham was obedient and he trusted God enough. And the New Testament refers to this in Romans chapter 4, refers to it in Hebrews 11. God said, this is pretty awesome. This guy impressed me. And he believed God. He trusted God enough. Abraham did this completely as a matter of trust in God. That's what it was. It was a complete trust in God. First of all, Abraham had a promise from God. If you go back to Genesis 15, see, God had given him a promise. Genesis chapter 15. God comes to Abraham. In verse 1, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, 'Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceedingly great reward.' And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is his Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born of my house is mine heir." In other words, he says, one of my servants is my heir. If I die, he's going to get all my stuff. What are you going to give me, God? I don't have a child. Anything you give me, I'm old. I don't have a child. It's just going to go to my servant when I die. And the Lord said, verse 4, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." And he brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." And he believed the Lord, and it counted for him for righteousness. Can you imagine that? He's getting old, very old. His wife's getting very old. It's still going to be a long time before they have kids, but they're past the time of having kids. You look up the stars. If you're in the city, I could believe that. But he wasn't in the city. And he said, "That's a lot of stars. I believe you, God." So he had a promise. He said, "From your own children." And so he knew God had promised him that this child that I'm about to sacrifice is going to bring forth as many children as the stars for multitude. And his descent is forever. And so he had a promise from God. So he went forth believing God promised him this thing. I don't know how it's going to work out. And faith is looking at God and saying, "I don't know how this is going to work out. This does not seem like a good plan. You give me a kid, and when I'm 100 years old, and say he's going to have a million kids, and you tell me to go kill him." Make a lot of sense. And if you think, trust me, if you think you have to understand God and his plans that make sense, you're not going to get very far in faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. You live in obedience no matter how crazy it seems. But he had something to cling on to. See, he'd found a God who is good. he was with all of his people, and he was in the Ur of the Chaldees, and God just one day said, up and leave all your family, everything you know. And this wasn't like he had, you know, he had MapQuest. He didn't have Google Earth. Nobody knew what was out there. As a matter of fact, he thought he'd find a city that God physically made, the New Testament tells us. He thought he'd run into a city that God physically made. He didn't know what he's looking for. And he was wandering where he didn't know where to go. He didn't know how he'd be taken care of. And along the way, God provided everything he needed. He kind of found out that God is a God of provision, a God that, though what he tells you to do is crazy, you do it anyway, because God promised that from this child, we would have multitude of children. He didn't have any yet. He's 8 or 10. I don't understand this, but you said go do it. Clearly, God, so I'm going to go do that. And so he knew, he had a promise, so he knew that it would be okay. Did you know, I want you to understand this, the faith, this is a very important part of the story because God includes details here. Abraham went to that mountain knowing him and the kid are coming back. He had to. He had to know that. Because God had promised. If you look at verse Genesis 22 again, see, he didn't know what was going to happen. He just knew something was going to happen because he knew that kid had to have a whole bunch of descendants. There was no way around it. And he's probably thinking, I have conflicting things here. I got to go kill my kid. My kid's going to have a bunch of descendants. But God says, go do it. That's walking by faith, not by sight. And boy, I've never had to live that much by faith. But when I've had to live by faith, it's been, you said to do this, right? Did I miss any orders here? Did your cell phone reception wasn't good up there or something? I mean, did something get cut out? I mean, I'm going to do this, but you better watch. And you know, it is a matter of this doesn't, when you have to really live by faith, it's kind of like God says, close your eyes and walk along the edge of the cliff and I'll make sure you don't step off. And all you want to do is peek. That's faith. Sometimes. Not all your life is that much faith. And thank God. Let's see. God knew it was going to be okay. He knew it was going to be okay. Look at verse 5. And Abraham said to the young men, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. He didn't say, me and the kid are coming, going, I'm coming back. And he said, I and the lad are going, and we're both going to come back. That's the way the phrase looks like it's said here. And then the obvious question comes up, verse 7. Isaac spake and said to Abraham, his father, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, a fire in the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? Good question. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. That's kind of interesting. He said, go slay your own son. This is before God stops him. And what ends up happening, God says, stop. He's ready to kill him. And he looks, and there's a ram with its horn stuck in the bushes there. He walks over, grabs it, and says, son, that better be your favorite animal right there, buddy. And what's your favorite animal, Isaac? A ram. So he goes over, grabs the ram, sacrifices it, and burns it. Abraham knew God was going to provide something. Why? Because God had promised. And he trusted God, Titus 1:2, that cannot lie. He knew God was going to do something. And he knew somehow it'd be okay. Let's look at Hebrews, referring back to this story. Book of Hebrews chapter 11. We'll be going back here to Genesis again. But Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out of the place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, sprang even of one, and as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky for multitude, as the sand was which in the sea shore innumerable. And these died all in faith, not having received the promises, and having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. Abraham believed God when not seen. He knew God. He knew who he was. He knew how good God was. He knew that somehow it would happen. Now, can you just imagine the thoughts Abraham is having? Anybody who's a parent? Anybody who has a nephew or niece you love? You think you're going to have to stab a knife into your child and then light the fire and burn your child up. And then go back and explain it to your wife. Honey, guess what happened today? How do you do that? And he had the knife lifted. By the way, you don't go back and explain it to your wife. You just go off into the wilderness because she's going to kill you. She says, oh, God's telling me to make a sacrifice too. We're going to the same mountain. And that's what she says. Can you imagine that? The thoughts going through his mind, what if I misunderstood? What am I doing? God says, thou shalt not murder. I mean, can you imagine a million things him talking, trying to talk himself out of it? Can you imagine and say, no, this can't be. I must have misunderstood because God said he'd make a million kids from this kid. That's a long trip up that mountain. And yet he believed God enough to do the insane. He believed God. Why? Because he trusted God. See, he not only had a promise, but he knew that the heart of God. Look at Jeremiah, because once you know God, and here's the thing that it's a little, well, it's kind of simple, but you know who God is enough that you just learn that do what he says is going to be okay, that God wants the best for you. You ever tell your kids to do something, and then you say, and they just do not trust you? And think you know what you're talking about or think you're crazy. And you're thinking, you know, go walk on that. No, it'll fall down. I'm not going to let you die. I love you. Just trust me. Do you ever just feel like, why? Don't you know I want the best for you? I love you. I care about you. I'm not trying to misguide you. And God just says, don't you know who I am? If you don't believe me. And Abraham said, I know who God is. If he wants me to go sacrifice my son, God's going to take care of this thing somehow. I trust God. It is a very belief in I know whom I have believed. And the heart of God is a heart of a father. And God says, I want the best for you. I'm not trying to say, oh, you're going to serve me? I'm going to make you miserable. I'm going to ruin your life. That's not God. God wants the best for us. He can be trusted because He's a good God. He's not a mean God that's trying to get you. He wants what's best for us. He knows what's best for us. And when we obey, we're going to be blessed. And God explains that. And in the book of Jeremiah, have you turned there yet? Jeremiah 29. Just a few verses in the heart of God. And God is writing this letter to people who've been punished for their sin and are been taken and exiled and sent to Babylon. And he says, you know, I want you to know my heart. I don't want to do this. Just like a parent spanking their child. And in Jeremiah 29, verse 10, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then he shall call upon me. He says, God says, I'm not thinking bad. I know I just sent you into punishment. However, I want you to know my thoughts are good towards you, not evil. I had to do this and you got punished, but it's not because I have good thoughts towards you. And this is a wicked people he's talking to. And one of the things that sometimes people get in their mind by the devil and by maybe bad parenting around them or whatever is that God's out to get them. And God's always mad at them. Even when God's mad at you, just like a loving parent when they're mad at their child, it's frustration, it's not hate. And God says, I have good thoughts towards you. And God has those toward us. If he didn't have good thoughts toward us, he would have said, you know, I got about 2 billion people my son's going to die for. The rest of you, I can't stand you. That's not God. For God so loved the world. He has thoughts of love. He is love. He isn't, you're not going to go to God and say, okay, God, I'm trusting you with my life. I'm going to do what you say. Here's my life. And God says, good, now I've got the reins, and I'm going to drag you down a big old hill of, I'm going to drag you down a cheese grater into a pool of rubbing alcohol. I mean, God's not saying, I want the reins to torture you. God says, I want the reins because I want to lead you to still waters. And yes, you disobey me, it's a fearful thing to fall into my hands, but I have good thoughts towards you. I don't want to do that. And you might frustrate me, but I have good thoughts towards you. Matthew 7:11, if ye then, being evil, know to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? I know how much I love my kids and want to do things for them, and I'm evil, the Bible says. God is not evil. How much does he want to give us? How much does he want to bless us as a perfect God of love and a father? He says, you're evil. No, you know how much you love your kids? Think of how much I must love you and want to do good things for you. That's his heart. And somebody could say, God, I trust you. Tell me to do this. You want best. You want the best for me. I'll do it. I don't know how it's going to work out, but you, I know you are a good God who wants the best for me. Psalm 37:4, it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Romans 8:32, it says, but he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? He says, if I gave my son for you, is there anything else I don't want to give to you? I gave my son to die for you. And so Abraham knew who God was, so he believed him because he knew who God was, and he trusted God enough. And so that is, he knew the heart of God, and so he knew that he could trust God with his life and with his son and with his child. And what a crazy thing for a parent to hold their kids back from God. And I've never known anybody, okay, you're not going to be asked to do this. There is symbolism being done here. It's going to be for future events. Don't, if you tell me, guess what I'm going to do, Pastor? I'm going to stop you. Okay. Okay. However, you will get times when God says, go do this. And it'll seem like this is nothing but bad for me. But you got to think who's talking to you. He that loses his life, God said, gains it. So you never give to God and lose out, because he's a, now you might lose out on earth. You might become a martyr. Okay, you might go to the mission field and you might live in a terrible climate and get sick a lot and have a lot of sacrifice. But in the long run, God says, you know how much I'm going to give you in heaven for this? It's never bad. It's never, there's really no suffering in serving God. There is short term, but in the end, you always get overpaid. And so you got to know who God is. You got to trust him by knowing who he is. And so he knew that. He knew God was going to take care of him. And he knew the heart of God. He did this in obedience, but I want to understand this. He had to do it knowing the heart of God, but he also had to go this direction by faith and not by sight. And he also had to do it not knowing why. Because Abraham went up that mount. He lifted the knife. God said, no, there's the thing. He put the thing, the ram on the altar, killed it, burnt it up, did a sacrifice. Come on, sons, go back down the hill. Went back down the hill. Don't tell mom about this at all. And went back down the hill, went back, got with their servants, and rode back to town. And probably thought, that was kind of weird. He didn't know he was going to be the greatest imagery in the entire Old Testament of the plan of salvation. He had no idea why it happened. He died. And he got to heaven, and God said, let me teach you something. I'm going to slay my son for the sins of mankind. And you just showed people a shadow of things to come. And I need someone who trusted me enough, and someone who only had that one son, his only begotten son, and to go and be willing to kill him. And I needed to show that. And Abraham said, wow, what a privilege. But when he did it, why did that happen? Because he had to obey. And sometimes in life, there are many things I've been through, and I've sounded so unprofound. Because I went through this terrible, terrible event, and somebody came to me and said, why did that happen to you? And I say, I don't know. I have no idea. There are so many things I don't know that happened. Everybody's got to know every answer to every single thing. And a lot of us are like that. How many of you are super curious and you have the answer of everything? You just got to know. You just go crazy. Inquiring minds want to know. But you don't read that magazine. And you got to know that. You don't read the Inquirer, though. And but you just say, I got to know this thing. I got to have the answer. I got to know why. And God says, you did what I wanted to. You witnessed that. God, clearly, you clearly led me to witness that person. I witnessed to him, and they didn't get saved. They didn't seem interested. In heaven, you'll figure it out. And so you obey by faith, even though you don't even see the allegory of it, the reason for it, the result of it. You just go back home and say, honey, you know, one of my servants handed me this stuff, and he said it was grape juice, but you wouldn't believe it. I did today. I was, and you go back and you say, I don't know what happened today. It was kind of weird, and you don't know, but you obeyed. That's all that mattered, because you believed God, because you know who He is, and you know He's a good God, and if He tells you to do something, it must be important. So by faith, you obey it, knowing who He is, and knowing you have His word, and knowing that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And He did this not knowing the whole reason, but He knew who He believed. And so trust is saying, I know who you are, I'm going to obey if I see the reason, if I don't see the reason, if I know why, if I don't know why. And so you go in obedience, and you usually are blessed. And there comes the lamb. There comes the ram. And he did not know there was going to be a ram there, but somehow he knew. And the truth is, if Abraham wouldn't have listened to the angel, or he would have swung a little too quick and killed his son, somehow that son would have lived. Because he would have had to have all those children. Because God had a plan. And you always know that God's a good God, and He always knows what He's doing. And I think the angel could have grabbed that arm. Because God is a good God, and God was not trying to torture Abraham. God knew Abraham wanted children, grandchildren, and God had already promised it, and so He knew that. So it's a matter of obedience when trust is hard. It's got to focus on who you believe in. And that He's a good God, and He is a wise God, and He knows what's best. And when you do that, you'll be able to live a life of faith and trust. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the word of God, Lord. And I thank you for this. This is a tough story, Lord. And just to think of that process of tying up His son and all that he had to think through. Lord, thank you that someone lived that way to show us the ultimate sacrifice. We don't have to do that, Father. Our faith walk is normally not that much. And sometimes I talk to a missionary, Lord, who goes to a field with a certain family, and there's danger there, but they trust you. Lord, help us in every day of our life just to say, if we don't see the way, just to know we know who we believe in. And He's a good God, because you are a loving Heavenly Father. And you prove that with giving your son that you want the best for us. Help us to trust and obey in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed.